Hey, everybody, it's the Charlie Kirk Show. They want to be gods, and they don't believe that God's eyes are upon them. The beginning of Davos, the World Economic Forum, starts today. We dive deep into the philosophical reasons they're doing what they're doing. What are their goals? They want to become gods, but it's deeper than that. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. You guys can go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com for a gift of any amount to get your copy of The American Response to the Great Reset. It is Davos week, and we are watching it all. Go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Some people asked, are you taking the day off? No, but we do believe in the spirit of the day, or what the day is supposed to be. The day is supposed to be a day where we recommit ourselves to the promise of Martin Luther King. You know, some people say, oh, Charlie, he had all these moral failings. And yes, he did. He certainly was a flawed person. But I do think the ideal that he pushed for, outside of some of the flirting with Marxism and communism, was a moral one and a heroic one, and was one that we should remind ourselves of judging people based on content of their character, not the color of their skin. So their character, who they are, their practices, their values, their beliefs, their actions, not how they look. And this ideal was repeated. In fact, I was listening to radio on the drive in and they kept on replaying it. And they talked about how, you know, I have a dream that one day we will have a society where people are judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And then just a couple minutes later, they're talking about systemic racism and white privilege. And I just thought to myself, the very same people today that are going to be telling us about how wonderful Martin Luther King Jr.'s ideals are, about how courageous he was. And he certainly was clear. He was clear in the type of America that he wanted to push forward, are now telling us that white people are to blame just because of the color of their skin. The left never actually believed it. They do believe in the retribalization of America. But we are working today. We're going into great detail of what is happening both here and internationally. There's a lot of news to talk about, especially with the Biden documents, no visitor logs. I don't know if I believe that. I got to be honest. I think that is a tough one to take at face value. But instead of going straight into the Biden news, I think we need to frame up the week with something that is more consequential, that is higher stakes than just Joe Biden's handling of classified information next to his Corvette in his home or Hunter Biden's home, to be determined. No, no, no. There's something happening right now in Switzerland that is far more important, and it's happening all week. So we're going to lead with that, and then we'll incorporate some of the Biden elements. It is so tempting right now to want to dive right into this Biden document story. It is waiting for us. It's right there. It is ripe for the picking. Biden says he doesn't have visitor logs, the confidential documents stored next to a Corvette. It's right there. And most shows are just diving right into it. But I thought to myself, as we were doing our team meeting, I said, hold on a second. But what if all of this is somewhat of a distraction to get our eye off the ball, something that might be even more consequential, that might be higher stakes? And that is the case. Now, we are going to get into the Biden document story. I think it is worthy of coverage. I don't think it is nearly as important of civilizational implications as people are making it seem. I think Biden is just an empty shell. He is, some people call him a puppet. Some people call him a vessel. We've always called him the bridge presidency. He wants to be remembered fondly and nicely and kindly by historians as being one of the most progressive presidents that helped the process of transformation. And that is an important thing. This idea of transformation, this idea of metamorphosis, in the Greek it would be metamorphiou, this idea of changing the state, almost of alchemy from one into the other, is critically important when it comes to understanding the deeper motivations of the World Economic Forum and of Davos. So we are going to get to the Biden documents. We're going to get into all of that. But Biden is just one player amongst several others of who the true international sovereign has become. And that is the World Economic Forum. Now, the World Economic Forum is just a meeting place. It's just a venue for many of their aims, their ambitions, their ideals. It's a conference. The World Economic Forum goes from January 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. It is happening today. And I'm very thankful for the hard work that Turning Point USA has put in. We have a team right now in Switzerland. We have a team right now on the ground. In fact, Savannah Hernandez will be joining us later in the program to give us an update from Davos of what is happening there. We have an entire series of videos that we are going to be sending out of exposing what exactly the aims and the ambitions of the World Economic Forum is. And in the ideal, the idea of the World Economic Forum is not something that is necessarily controversial. Okay, you got a bunch of heads of states, a bunch of people with power coming together to figure out how to make a better world. What could possibly go wrong with that? Well, we should immediately be skeptical because we know the heart of man. We believe that the heart of man is flawed from the beginning, as it says in Genesis. It's one of the first things that God says when Noah gets off the ark. And by the way, we're going to talk about Noah's ark because Yuval Harari, one of the transhumanist people from the World Economic Forum, talks frequently about changing human beings. And now he's talking about Noah's ark. It's very bizarre. But we know that the heart of man is flawed from birth. So therefore, if you're dealing with a corrupted material, you probably don't want to see them all concentrate their power together. You don't want to see them all congregate into one place at one time and to strategize because they're probably up to no good. Now, if I were to ask you, what does Mao Zedong, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, and Pol Pot, what do they all have in common? Now, you might say, oh, they were all had some form of Marxist or totalitarian impulses. Yeah, that's true, but there's something else they have in common. There's something else that the most murderous members of the world community, the world leadership community of the 20th century had in common. And each one of them did not believe at a fundamental level that the eyes of God were upon their actions and were judging them. They did not believe that there was a sovereign, that there was a divine creator that was watching what they were doing. Now, interestingly enough, this is beautifully depicted in a film that I watched several times growing up, and the main kind of message went over my head as I watched it. It's a Woody Allen film. It's not very well known. It's called Crimes and Misdemeanors. It's beautifully well done. Dennis Prager agrees because he mentioned it in his speech. I was like, wow, that's so beautifully put, where the whole idea is, how would you act if you did not believe that the eyes of God were upon your actions? And the movie basically makes the argument you would murder and get away with it. And that is the story of the 20th century. If you did not believe, if you did not, at least at some idea, had the fear that God was judging you or an idea of a God, what would you do? So now we look at Davos right now. Klaus Schwab, Justin Trudeau, the heads of state from around the world. I must ask the question, how many of the people right now in Davos that are talking about changing human beings as they are and transforming them, creating transhumans? How many of them that are talking about an insect diet? That's one of their things, that you will own nothing and you will be happy. How many of them believe, actually believe it, that not that they say it, but they believe it at a fundamental level, that there is a creator, that there is a divine, that there is a transcendent force that is watching their actions? Now, by the way, this, you could be a Christian that believes this. You could be a Buddhist. You could be Taoist. You could be Jewish. You could be, the point is, do you at least have some inkling, some fear, some hesitation that your actions might be judged? And the answer for the people of Davos is not just no, it is the exact opposite. They believe that we will be like gods. Almost everyone watching this program have two things in common, that we believe there is a God and we are not him. Those are two things that we have in common, that we believe there is a God and we are not him. Play cut 19 from the World Economic Forum.
next big projects of humankind will be to overcome old age and death, to find the keys, the secret to happiness, and to basically upgrade humans into gods. And I don't mean it as a kind of literary metaphor. I mean it in the literal sense.
That is Yuval Harari, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yes, Yuval Noah Harari. Amazing that he's doing that with the name Noah. And he says, we will become gods. That is, so when we talk about the aims and the ambitions of the World Economic Forum of trying to create demigods here on Earth, that is not an exaggeration. He says, I don't mean that as a metaphor. He might say, well, come on, who is this guy? He's some sort of schmuck. He's just kind of a low-level guy. No, his title is the lead advisor to Klaus Schwab. The first thing that they want to do, the big goal is to create you to be like gods. And so what is happening at the World Economic Forum? You don't have to get very far into the book of Genesis, of which we are going through together, by the way, on our podcast. And I'm actually really enjoying that as we do our Ask Me Anything episodes. A new one just dropped today. And we're just doing a pretty, I think, helpful and I find it to be fruitful study of some of the scriptures there, which is, you want to be like God? You want to be God? It's one of the most evil things a human being can try to aspire to be. The Bible is a book of distinctions. And if you don't have to believe the Bible, that's fine. But it is inarguable that if you get rid of distinctions between God and man, inexplicable, incomprehensible human suffering will ensue. So I will repeat the question one more time. How many people right now in Davos, Switzerland, believe that the eyes of God are upon them? I would bet very few. And that alone is cause for alarm. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers services with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, then you could switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage of the best 4G and 5G networks, so you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support team helps make switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call them at 878-PATRIOT. I think very highly of Patriot Mobile. I love their team, Glenn and all of them. They do a wonderful job. Get free activation today with offer code Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Charlie. So right now, the World Economic Forum, they are meeting, they're discussing, they're plotting, they're planning. I do want to mention some of your domestic leaders that are in attendance. Now, the World Economic Forum is a place for neoliberalism. For years, people of both parties would attend. But as our eyes have been opened, as we have awoken to neoliberalism as a way to destroy the American middle class, as we have been awakened, I should say, to the American middle class being destroyed, as we have started to learn about the international foreign wars. Someone asked me the other day, said, Charlie, what is the best way to describe neoliberalism? Now, I did not come up with this, but I'm happy to repeat it. Invade the world, invite the world. That's the best way to describe neoliberalism. Invade the world, invite the world. Don't like a country, invade it, and then take all of their people so you could destroy your language, your culture, your history. So in Cut 20, this is Yuval Noah Harari talking about basically appropriating the biblical story of Genesis. Again, it all comes back to Genesis 1 through 11. In from the World Economic Forum, taking that construct, that paradigm, that archetype, and then applying it to the aims and the ambitions of the international global elite. Play cut 20 of the senior advisor to Klaus Schwab. Play cut 20.
In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, basically the first thing God does is to create animals and plants and humans according to his wishes. We are now trying to gain this divine ability to ourselves. It's very likely that in the 21st century, the main product, the most important products of the human economy will no longer be just vehicles and textiles and food and weapons. The main products will be bodies and brains and minds, because the gods, like Jehovah in the Bible, they could create only organic beings. If you're a creationist and you look at the world, so all these animals, all these plants, God created them and they are all organic. Now humans are trying to do better than that.
That he is now saying that human beings need to now take what God did, create it. Now, of course, Yuval Noah Harari, he knows what he's saying. I'm guessing just based on his accent that he is Israeli. Is that right? So he knows the Torah. He knows the Bible. He knows that in biblical Hebrew, the word create is only ever used with God, never for man. That is very intentional. In biblical Hebrew, anything that is created is never used. That verb is never used for man. It is only used for God. So he knows exactly what he's doing. He's trying to converge those together. Now, distinctions are what keep us free. Now, when you take a step back, you don't hear a lot of speeches about distinctions very often, do you? Like, what is a distinction? Well, a distinction is the line so that you can differentiate good from evil. Boy, is that those lines being blurred. How about man from woman? Those lines are being blurred. How about man from nature? Those lines are being blurred. How about God from man? The Bible, especially Genesis 1 through 11, is a book of distinctions. And now some of you are emailing us, and not too many, but some of you say, Charlie, I'm tired of you guys talking about the Bible and all this. We actually had zero plans to talk about the Bible today. It is the World Economic Forum, the people that are outward secularists, they are the people that do not believe the eyes of God are upon them, that are then appropriating Genesis 1 through 11, to their own actions. And that is exactly what is happening right now in Davos, Switzerland. The significance is eternal. It's a lot more important than where did Joe Biden put his classified documents. In all fairness, not everybody who might be going to this meeting might be signing on to this or subscribing to this. I wouldn't get anywhere near this place otherwise to cover it and to, you know, be a media member. I wouldn't participate, but I'm going to list off the names and you guys can make your own judgments of whether or not you think these people believe this stuff or not. But how many people in the Republican Party right now do you think actually understand the geopolitical significance of what is unfolding thousands of miles away in Davos, Switzerland? Or are they just happy being a controlled opposition? It's a pretty important question. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow. Mike Lindell is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow Towels. Towels that work. I know it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set that includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code KIRK. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special and use promo code KIRK. That's MyPillow.com. Use promo code KIRK or call 800-875-0425. That is MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. Okay, so we have right now the attendee list. Not the full attendee list, but just some of the people from the United States that are attending the World Economic Forum. Let me list off some of these people. John Kerry, no big surprise there. And look, the accurate, but quite honestly overdone criticism is, oh, they're such hypocrites because they fly private jets to Davos, which are obviously, they do a lot of emitting of more carbon emitting than carbon dioxide and carbon emitting than anything else. That is correct, but I'm not going to focus on the hypocrisy of it because it's hierarchy, not hypocrisy. They hate you. They don't believe in you. They never have, but That is correct. Catherine Tai, the United States Trade Representative, Martin Walsh, the Secretary of Labor, Samantha Power, who is the U.S. Agency for International Development, Avril Haines, the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, Christopher Wray. So let me get this straight. Why would the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the head of our domestic, not international, domestic law enforcement agency, be going to Davos? The answer, I suppose, could be, well, maybe he's trying to coordinate with international threats that might be happening domestically. That's a stretch. Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, Republican governor of Georgia. Christopher Coons, Democrat senator from Delaware. Daryl Issa, Republican from California. Gregory Meeks, Democrat from New York. Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan. J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, who will be giving an engaging seminar on how eating insects could lead to weight loss. I don't know if he's the most credible person to talk about weight loss. Now, look, I know some of you say, Charlie, you can't make fat jokes. I agree, unless it comes to J.B. Pritzker. Zero rules when it comes to the fat tyrant from Illinois. I'm sorry. It's just there. You have exemptions to, you have exceptions to things in life. J.B. Pritzker is the exception to that. Ruin the state I love. My home. James Rich from Idaho, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona, Maria Cantwell from Washington, Maria Elvira Salazar, a Republican from Florida, Mike Gallagher, who, not the radio show host, no, the congressman from Wisconsin, who every time he went to go propose Kevin McCarthy as speaker, he couldn't help himself but talking about another sovereign nation he wanted to arm up and invade. He wasn't that blunt about it, but he's like, we need to get this done so we can work with Democrats, so we can arm our allies. That's when you really know America's about to be getting some trouble. Mickey Sherrill, congresswoman from New Jersey. Seth Moulton, congressman from Massachusetts. And that is the list of the United States that we know of lawmakers and adjacent lawmakers, you could say, that are in Davos. I want to play another piece of tape here. This is Klaus Schwab giving instructions to elected leaders, talking about the transition process, transformation. They're trying to bring us from one state to another. I have right here the most beautiful political document ever written, the United States Constitution. One of their chief goals of what they are talking about right now is to shred and eliminate the moral promise of the U.S. Constitution, namely that you are a sovereign individual with natural rights, that you have agency. No, they want to erode that. They instead want to create a Borg-like collective where your own individual autonomy is evaporated, it's destroyed, and you live in a technocratic, dystopian, transhumanist future. Imagine if 1984 and Brave New World had a child. Huxleyan and Orwellian type future were mashed together. Play cut 16 of Klaus Schwab.
Of course, if you look at all the challenges, we can speak about the multi-crisis, an economic, a political, a social, an ecological, an institutional crisis. But actually, what we have to confront is a deep, systemic, and structural restructuring of our world. Politically, the driving forces for this political transformation, of course, is the transition into a multipolar world, which has a tendency to make our world much more fragmented.
Now, that was just a couple of, that was 2 months ago, I believe, in Indonesia, of a B20 summit talking about the aims and the ambitions of the World Economic Forum. Now, this idea of globalism is not new. We talked about in the Ask Me Anything episode that I encourage you guys to download on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. The Bible talks about globalism in Genesis 11, less about the tower and more about the city, trying to create a city that was centralized, that was uniformed. And God, the Torah, and Thomas Jefferson all do not like major cities. We go into that. We went into that into great detail on Friday. We don't have to repeat that. But I do encourage you guys to check out the podcast. I thought it to be insightful. So, but this idea of globalism reemerged post-World War II. Now, if you were to watch our speeches at America Fest, which was an amazing event put on by the Turning Point USA team, I'd say about half of the speakers in one way, shape, or form harkened back to the heroism of people storming D-Day, of the evil of the Nazis. A historian by the name of Tom Holland, who I find to be brilliant, and I'm just getting into some of his work, he makes the argument that the Holocaust and World War II put together was the modern day equivalent of the crucifixion. It was the 20th century crucifixion. Now, he did not mean that literally. He meant that it was such a heavy, serious, history-altering moment that we, in some ways, are living in the shadow of the Holocaust and in the shadow of World War II. We are living in a post-World War II neoliberal order. We are living in a post-World War II moral construct. And you can see this by how certain people discuss politics online. For example, when Friedrich Nietzsche in the 1800s said that God is dead, he was not celebrating God, but he said something is going to have to fill the God's shadow, the shadow of what God has. And boy, was he right. And in some ways, I believe it's the right thing. I'm not even complaining about this. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but in some ways it has been misapplied. But the mass shadow of the evil of the Holocaust has so dominated all of our discourse, has so dominated our politics that in some ways it is misapplied and it is overdone. For example, that it's that adage is everyone I don't like is Hitler. And in some ways, the new politics is what would Hitler do? I'm going to do the opposite. And that kind of binary thinking is actually really damaging. And so what is one of the takeaways that we have been taught, and I think incorrectly taught, from World War II? Not that the correct takeaway, which is that the eyes of God, that Hitler did not believe the eyes of God were upon him, but no, it is nationalism. The lesson that we take away from World War II, and there's many of them, there's some that are correct lessons, such as you should not judge people or try to harm people or take people's rights away based on their religion or their immutable characteristics. That is pure evil. Hard stop. Pure evil. No, instead, one of the lessons is if a nation believes in itself and if a nation wants to recommit itself to its roots, immediately you're going to get the Holocaust. So what is the opposite of that? Globalism. The opposite of what happened in World War II, they tell us is the opposite is we need the World Economic Forum. We need Davos right now because if we allowed nation states to become too strong, too powerful, and believe in themselves too much, you get 7 million Jews murdered. You get mass casualty and catastrophe. And in some ways, our thinking is so shadowed by that particular, I believe, inaccurate takeaway from World War II that really bad, really evil ideas then start to dominate. And so what we are living through is an attempted transformation based on, I think, the misreading of history and this mandate from the World Economic Forum and from Klaus Schwab and so many of our leaders that if we do not try to create a one world government, if we do not try to create a new beginning, then somehow we're going to get back to the intentional mass widespread killing that we saw in the World War II, of the Holocaust that is, Tom Holland said, is the 20th century crucifixion. I think that's so insightful and so smart. But what if that's actually not correct? What if we're doing all of this for the wrong reasons, and in some ways, we're actually getting closer towards what we barely survived in the 20th century. And I'm afraid that's the case. Someone says here, Charlie, Ken in Phoenix, can you post a list of all the attendees and their parties so we can contact them with our disappointment? Yes, Ken. We will do that at charliekirk.com. By the way, you guys should check out charliekirk.com. It's terrific. Charlie, I've been following this character, Yuval Noah Harari, for quite some time. Very bad dude in terms of his ideology and his socio-philosophical intentions. He denies his Jewish faith, obviously. just sharing in case your audience did not know. So check it out. They've got to also check out this website, and we'll post that later. Okay, Kelly, thanks so much. It's a long email. Appreciate it. Thank you. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Someone says here, Charlie, brilliant take on nationalism. All nationalism is not the same. The problem is militaristic, race-obsessed ultra-nationalism. That definition definitely covered the Nazis and also parts of Ukraine. That is right. It's a thought crime, but it is absolutely correct. Someone says, Charlie, love the show. Keep up the good work. I heard you read a list of attendees of the World Economic Forum. How can I get a copy of that list? CharlieKirk.com is where we're going to post that. By the way, that should just be your home for all podcasting, amongst other things. CNN is getting very worried. CNN has an article about Davos. Let me read it to you. It says, Davos draws record crowds, but its relevance is fading. They're very worried that the local is now leading over the international. Now, I disagree with CNN. I don't think its relevance is actually fading. I think that it's more relevant than ever. But what they are saying is that people are looking in the much more immediate than they are in the global. And that is a very good thing. CNN writes here, they're pushing businesses and governments to rethink supply chains for key products, and reducing vulnerabilities and protecting national interests take precedent over maximizing cost savings. But the damage to the Davos mission has accelerated over the past 12 months. What they call Russia's invasion of Ukraine was a gut punch to the Davos agenda. And this is what's so interesting. We have been making this argument for many months on this program, and CNN says here, I think it's the most insightful part of the piece. They say that we are in an in-between era. We are in a transition. Dare I say, CNN and Davos believes that we are going through geopolitical puberty, that you're not quite an adult and you're no longer a child, but you are going through the clumsy, albeit necessary process to get to the liberated man. And boy, is that dangerous. Awkward. I suppose that's a really good word. Is that kind of awkward 12 or 13 or 14-year-old boy, and you know that he's struggling with puberty and he's going through that, and your heart goes out to them. But that's essentially the comparison that they're making. They say the consequences of the transition, this is CNN, are still playing out. While the trend towards deglobalization is expected to have some negative consequences, such as adding to inflation, this is an opportunity to reinvigorate communities that lost out on jobs during the free trade bonanza, reduce the carbon footprints of supply chains, and ease the crippling global inequality. Now, Rush Limbaugh understood this so well. Environmentalism, the cult of the pagan earth worshipers, is a key component to bringing in one world government and globalism. Remember the distinctions. Distinction between God and man, distinction between man and woman, distinction between good and evil, but also distinction between man and nature. The traditional Western idea, which is a biblical idea, is that nature is there for us. We are not here for nature. Now, a hermetic or a Gnostic idea is that we must worship nature. I don't believe that at all. But if you believe that nature is a moral equivalent to humanity, then you would have 15-minute cities. Do we have tape on the 15-minute cities, by the way? This 15-minute city development is so disturbing, it's so critical, it's so important, and it ties directly into the World Economic Forum. So let me just kind of tell you basically what it is. 15-minute cities are cities where they wall off the transportation, and it's a residential urban concept in which most daily necessities can be accomplished by either walking or cycling from residents' homes. Everything is 15 minutes away. Katie Hopkins has come out. She's terrific. And she said the plan in Oxford has just been passed by the council to divide the city into six parts. You will only have the freedom to operate in the part that you have been allocated. It's very similar to Hunger Games districts, District 1, District 2, District 3, District 4, and you can't leave your district. This will all be done via e-gates, electronic gates, and number plate recognition. This has now been passed by the Oxford Council, and this is happening in the next 2 years in 2024. So freedom of mobility, freedom of movement is already being restricted by the Oxford City Council. that if you do not go your approved route, you could be fined. You could be, I don't know about arrested. I don't want to say anything that hasn't yet been passed, but you could definitely be penalized. Free will, agency, the ability to move as you see fit, all of these things are in their own plans, the World Economic Forum plans. They want to put them through a transition. They want to transition from cars to bicycles and walking. They want to transition from the nuclear family to synthetically created human beings. They want to transition from going into out to the park for a walk to putting on your AI goggles. You are living through an attempted transition. And that is much more consequential than where Biden put his documents. All eyes on Davos this week. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.